Upheaval, Reckoning, Chapter 27, A Great Enough Need.
I'm telling you, that cellar you have over there is disturbing this farm's ley network, Coppermane said. Especially the ones involving fortune. So long as it's there, your farm will always suffer from a shortage of money, even if you have a monopoly of high-demand products. And I'm telling you that we here at Sweet Apple Acres are doing just fine without your lay water mahuli, the yellow earth pony filly replied. She looked to her companion, a large, red earth pony stallion who stared at Coppermane with a mild hostility. Ain't I right, Big Mac?
Yep.
Coppermane shook his head and turned away. He had come to Ponyville with high expectations when he heard that it was an earth pony settlement. Upon arriving, the dismay nearly made him leave. It was true that there were plenty of earth ponies in the village, and he was heartened to know that its leader was one. However, there was also a sizable population of goats and birds in the place.
It's a dangerous journey you're undertaking, Coppermane. The earth ponies of the Heartland do not have access to Rockmaven's teachings. Be wary during your travels there. It is likely that our kin are still slaves to goats and birds.
Elder Scatterscree's warning seemed more and more apt as Coppermane explored Ponyville. These earth ponies were not wearing chains, but all the trappings of slavery were there. Earth ponies pulled the wagons and carriages, worked the farms, and did all the manual labor while the goats and birds made themselves comfortable. This was a massive problem that he was attempting to attack, and he had no idea where to begin.
You are young and arrogant, Coppermane. You will soon learn that there's no helping the earth ponies who refuse to follow our ways.
Coppermane scoffed at the idea. The elders insisted on remaining completely isolated despite the great changes occurring throughout Equestria. The barrier was no more, opening a clear path to the Heartland and its inhabitants. He had argued before the elders that it was time to make pilgrimages to the Heartland. The true earth ponies should go out of their way to bring the chosen earth ponies into the fold. For his troubles, he received only scornful reproaches. He went on his own pilgrimage regardless. If he returned to the Great Delve with a group of earth pony converts, he'd prove that he was right and more pilgrimages would follow in his wake. As a start, Coppermane chose a small earth pony settlement instead of one of the cities. Ponyville was a strange sight to him. It sat on acres of arable land. It certainly had farms, but it didn't seem like a farming community at all. When he passed by the center of town, there were a lot of idle earth ponies, birds, and goats. He surmised that this place started as a farming community, then later lost its identity when the birds and goats settled. He had gone to one of the farms in hopes of using his knowledge of ley lines to improve its lot. So far, he met no success. He made his way back toward the center of the village to see what else he could do.
Let go! I still have to see my family's rock farm! I told you that we'll take care of it. You've caused enough problems as it is, Pinkie Pie.
Coppermane turned towards the sound of the high-pitched shouting and found a pink earth pony mare being lifted by magic. Several other ponies stood around and watched. He recognized the legion's barding on some of them, while the others, mostly earth ponies, looked like ordinary villagers.
"Let go of that earth pony, goat!"
he shouted. Seeing the inaction of his kin toward such obvious oppression inflamed him. He pulled out his channeling tablet and pointed it at the floating pink pony, focusing his mind on harnessing the power of the earth. The telekinetic hold around the pink pony broke at his sudden attack. Before any pony could react, he had placed himself between the pink pony and the legionnaires, one of which was a dark blue goat who had been maintaining the telekinesis. She shook her head, a few of her mane's ringlets falling across her face. She studied him for a while and recognized his clothes.
"This is legion business, true earth pony," she said. "Back away and keep your weird magic to yourself."
The pink pony, instead of running away as Coppermane had expected, stood behind him.
"That stone," she said. "I got one just like it. Are you one of those true earth ponies?"
He looked behind him incredulously. A stone just like his tablet? Why would a Heartland earth pony possess a channeling tablet? Before Coppermane could even say anything, something struck his face hard.
His channeling tablet skittered on the ground while he sprawled across the dirt. "Oops," the dark blue goat said. "I meant for that to be a warning tap. You really shouldn't ignore me after attacking my spell." Her voice lowered to a menacing hiss as she walked closer. "I have bad reactions to being ignored." Coppermane shook his head desperately to clear it before the goat attacked again. "You don't scare me, goat," he said. "I'll die before I watch you oppress Earth ponies and not do anything." The goat raised an eyebrow. "Oppress?" she asked. "I wasn't oppressing any pony. Celestia drew my backside. You true Earth ponies are so twitchy that you'd cry oppression if some pony reached out to hug you." She moved past Coppermane and went over to the pink pony. "Get to the night skimmer, Pinkie Pie." Pinkie Pie took another step back. She looked pleadingly at the goat, who was having none of it.
"But my family,"
she said. "And what are you planning to do once you make it there?" the goat asked. "Take on Sablesteel in single combat and win? You think they're in danger? You're putting the elements of harmony in danger right now by being far away from them."
I...
Pinkie Pie tried desperately to remain defiant, but her lips quivered.
"I can't just do nothing, Night Canter."
By the time Coppermane recovered, he was already surrounded by legionnaires. They had already taken his tablet. He tried to take another step toward the goat, but several hoofs held him in place.
"You won't be doing nothing," Night Canter said. Her voice took on a more comforting pitch. "Leave it to us. We'll get your family, the cakes, and whoever else you think is in danger of being assassinated. We'll send them to Canterlot or wherever you think is the safest."
Pinkie Pie still looked deflated, but she nodded and followed meekly. Night Canter glanced at Coppermane before motioning for the other legionnaires.
"Oh, and arrest that idiot, will you? Interfering with legion business and all."
The legionnaire shoved Coppermane roughly. The bird among them pulled out a crossbow and aimed it at him.
"Wait, I want to talk to that pony," Pinkie Pie said.
Night Canter let out a sigh.
"Fine, toss him inside the night skimmer. Confiscate the tablet, though."
The other legionnaires saluted and led both Coppermane and Pinkie Pie away. Despite Captain Night Canter's reassurances that her family and friends would be protected, Pinkie Pie found it impossible to sit still inside the night skimmer. She barely slept a wink since last night. Every time she closed her eyes for too long, the image of Sablesteel's wasp-like form standing over those twitching, half-melted corpses jolted her awake. She paced around the hold where Night Canter's squad had tossed in the True Earth pony. His forelegs were bound with rope and his stone tablet had been taken away. Night Canter agreed reluctantly to let her talk to him before going off to her family's rock farm.
"There's no doubt in my mind that you're an idiot, Pinkie Pie, but I'll give you the benefit of the doubt as to whether you're a suicidal idiot. You watch yourself around that True Earth pony."
The hold's stifling heat and cramped space suited Pinkie's mood at the moment. Though the cakes were secure above decks, she felt as if all her worrying was smothering her. Sablesteel could be anywhere, doing all sorts of evil things while she was stuck here, unable to do anything. Other ponies set out to protect her family and friends, not her. It was the same thing that had been happening to her ever since she followed Twilight into the Barrier Lands. While she watched from the sidelines, all her friends did their part to protect what was important. She recalled everything that went down when Night Canter first burst into Sugarcube Corner, looking for her.
"Do you have any idea as to the sort of trouble you've steered up, Pinkie Pie? Special Operations has enough on its plate without having to track you down every time you get into your empty pink hat to run off somewhere."
"But Sablesteel said that she was going to kill the ponies who were precious to me."
"I'm hurt that you're not worried about me, then," Night Canter said flatly. "Time to get back to Canterlot."
"No,
I wasn't asking."
Night Canter's horn glowed and Pinkie quickly found her forelegs pressed against her sides in a tight telekinetic grip. She rose several feet in the air and remained suspended there. Night Canter walked closer.
"Maybe you haven't noticed, Pinkie Pie, so let me clear things up for you. You're not Pinkie Pie the rock farmer's daughter or Pinkie Pie the baker's assistant anymore. You are Legionnaire Pinkie Pie, bearer of the element of joy. You are expected to be there when called upon, ready to be at Equestria's disposal when the time comes. You mess around like this and you'll be lucky if the only casualties are a couple of families. Night Canter and her squad left the bakery with Pinkie floating helplessly after them.
Wait, Carrot Cake said. There's no need to be so rough. Pinkie Pie came here because she was worried about us.
Good that you're so concerned about her because you're coming with us, Night Canter replied. Pack your essentials and let's go, all of you.
Both Cake's jaws dropped.
What?
Cupcake exclaimed.
We can't just close on the spot, and how long are we supposed to stay in Canterlot?
Until we make sure you're not being targeted. Night Canter looked back at Pinkie.
So who else should we uproot from their lives and send to Canterlot? She asked.
Pinky's lower lip stuck out as she glared at Night Canter. Tears threatened to burst out of her eyes.
You're a meanie, she said. I thought you were nice when we went to the Everfree Forest together.
Why all the anger, Pinkie? Isn't this what you came here to do? You brought this upon them. Take some responsibility.
Pinkie Pie pressed her lips together. Responsibility. There was that word again. She thought that responsibility meant being able to take care of the Cake twins and running the bakery while Carrot and Cupcake had to be off somewhere. Responsibility never included ponies getting hurt and dying. She couldn't deal with this responsibility with what she had. Night Canter was right. By sending her loved ones to Canterlot, she was going to uproot them. She didn't want to uproot any pony. She just wanted them safe. She wished with all her heart that neither the Cakes nor her own family had to be involved in all of these things, that she could cast a magic spell like Twilight Sparkle and keep them all safe without making their lives harder. Or she could cast a spell to make Sablesteel not want to hurt any pony. But she wasn't a unicorn. She wasn't even a strong earth pony like Applejack. All she had was...
Do you need anything?
The True Earth Pony asked. In the blink of an eye, Pinkie was right in front of the True Earth Pony, grasping his head with her front hoofs and shaking him.
You're one of those True Earth Ponies, right?
She asked. She showed him the tablet that had confounded her for several days already.
Can you show me how to work this thing? I saw you use one. Can I do magic stuff with it? Something like those shields that Twilight makes? Please, 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 show me!
Hold on. Ow!
He yelped in pain when his teeth clamped down on his tongue. Pinkie Pie let go and backed away.
Sorry, True Earth Pony, she said. Will you show me how to work the tablet now?
The True Earth Pony steadied himself, then examined his tongue.
My name is Coppermane, not True Earth Pony. How did you get a Channeler's tablet? Are you a True Earth Pony? Has a sect of True Earth Ponies actually developed here in the Heartland?
I'm not a True Earth Pony, Pinkie Pie replied. Wait, I'm an actual Earth Pony, but not a true Earth Pony like you. I mean, I am an Earth Pony like you, not like you with masks, and the weird magic, and the sinking unicorns are good thing.
How did you get this tablet?
Pinkie Pie quickly narrated her earlier encounter with the true Earth Ponies. Coppermane's eyes widened at the mention of the masked pony.
An elder, he said.
You said Fangbreaker Fortress? That is all the way up to the Northern Barrier Land. You must have met Elder Treefield. He answered the call for reinforcements to that place.
Yeah, he was kinda creepy with that mask, and he always whispering to his friend instead of talking to me. Do your elders...
Pinkie stopped and shook her head.
What am I doing? No time for random questions.
Coppermane shrank back when she stepped closer.
Tell me how to put up a shield, or be able to tell if some pony is going to get attacked. You two earth ponies have said weird magic, right? Elder Treefield said that there was some kind of channeler or something. Teach me!
I will if you promise not to shake all my teeth loose. Coppermane said.
He threw his forelegs up and kept them there until Pinkie Pie backed away.
I'm going to teach you because I respect Elder Treefield a lot for venturing forth unlike the other elders. He must have seen a great deal of talent in you, but apparently couldn't follow through with teachings. I warn you, I'm still a student of late channeling myself. All I can offer are the basics.
Okie doke. Okay,
Pinkie Pie said as seriously as she could. She sat down and held the tablet Treefield gave her.
Let's start with the basic shields, then.
Coppermane looked at her disapprovingly.
Let's clear some things for you first, Pinkie Pie, he said. For one thing, we are not goats.
Duh, of course we are not goats. We're ponies. Wait, you mean unicorns, don't you? Why do you keep calling unicorns goats?
Coppermane frowned and tried to loosen his restraints.
because unicorns are a type of goat.
No, they're not. They're ponies.
They resemble Earth's ponies only in the same way lizards resemble dragons. Regardless, keep in mind that we are not like them. Magic is what these goats do. They possess a personal store of power which they use to bend nature to their wills. Pinkie Pie's brow furrowed.
You think lizards are dragons? She asked.
Coppermane ground his teeth so hard that Pinkie could hear them. Fine, he said. For the sake of moving past this point, I'm going to call them unicorns. Will that make you happy? Pinkie Pie nodded, just to please this grouchy pony. She couldn't understand why he was so hung up with names, but she needed a way to protect her loved ones. Captain Nightcanter was right. What was the point of getting to her loved ones if she had no way to stop Sablesteel? Coppermane cleared his throat. As I was saying, unlike unicorns, Earth's ponies do not have this personal store of power. What we have is a natural connection to the vast power within Earth that flows through ley lines. Through this connection, we can direct the flow of energy to help us. This is why we do not use magic, we channel ley energy. Magic is selfish and unnatural. Channeling is harmonious and part of nature. Do you understand that? Pinkie Pie nodded again. She didn't really understand, but she was anxious to get to the part where she could defend her friends. She was beginning to think that these true Earth ponies may not like unicorns as much as Earth ponies, so it was important for Coppermane to say that what he was doing wasn't magic. All right then, Coppermane continued. Why don't we try some basic channeling? Hold the stone that Elder Treefield gave you. Pinkie sat up straight and did as she was told.
Okay, what's next?
She asked. Concentrate on your connection to the Earth.
My what?
Your connection, Coppermane snapped. You must have felt it at least once when you accidentally channeled. How else would Elder Treefield have known that you had the gift?
I don't know. He just came out of nowhere after he saved Sharpfangs from a jar of salt falling on his head.
And how did you save this Sharpfangs from getting hit by a jar of salt? Coppermane asked.
Oh, that's easy,
Pinkie said with a smile.
My pinky sense warned me.
What in the hay is a pink? Coppermane shook his head. Never mind what you call it. Concentrate on it. Try to will it to happen.
But I can't just make it happen. It just does when...
Hush! Forget about what you think triggers it. Coppermane stared intensely at Pinkie, his eyes suddenly knowing. You've had this pinky sense all your life, correct? For all that time, you must have thought that it was just some random amusing thing that happened to you and it happened to be useful. You've never needed to find out more or develop it. It was some quirk and you were fine with it being that way. Now you needed to be more than a quirky, helpful thing. You needed to be effective against your problems. Most of all, you needed to be there when you want it, not when it wants to. Pinkie Pie pouted and avoided looking at Coppermane. The nearness of what he was saying to what actually happened made her uncomfortable. It didn't help that it was only a few minutes ago that Nightcanter was telling her something similar.
Twilight tried to find out more about it, she muttered.
Let me guess. This Twilight isn't even an Earth pony, is she?
She's a unicorn.
How sure are you that she didn't find out anything then? She may have found out a lot of things and refused to tell you for fear of you surpassing her power.
That's not how Twilight is at all,
Pinkie said.
You haven't even met her.
Coppermane turned his nose up. I don't need to meet her. Goats are all alike.
You're doing it again. Unicorns aren't goats.
We'll get nowhere with that. Go back to willing your power to come forth. Concentrate. Pinkie held the tablet and stared at it hard. She stared until the muscles in her face ached and drops of sweat dripped down her chin.
Nothing's happening,
she said at last.
That's because you weren't concentrating, Coppermane said. You were just staring at the tablet and trying to frown your eyebrows off. Try to recall the last time you used your power, the sensations, the state of your mind. Try to will them forth.
Pinkie was about to go back to the salt jar incident when she suddenly remembered that something more recent had happened. There was that time inside Clover the Clever's home. The tablet had activated and she was seeing these strange colors. What had she been feeling back then? There was a deep curiosity for what was going on and this heightened awareness of all those beautiful colors. There was...
There! Coppermane said.
Pinkie looked down and saw that the gems embedded onto the stone tablet were indeed glowing. As soon as she looked down, however, the light faded and the gems became inert once more. "Don't stop," Coppermane said. "Keep doing what you were doing a while ago." Pinky tried again, harder this time. The floor beneath them suddenly lurched.
"Did I do that?"
she asked. Coppermane looked around him. "Perhaps," he said. "All this vessel is moving." He hopped over to a nearby porthole to check. He swallowed the lump in his throat, beads of sweat already forming by his forehead. "We're flying," he said. "No pony said anything about flying."
"Duh," Pinkie Pie said. "We're in an airship. Relax. Tell me what to do next."
"This is unnatural," Coppermane said. He huddled by one corner of the hold. "Birds fly, not earth ponies." It was Pinky's turn to raise an eyebrow.
"Are you scared of flying?"
she asked. "Scared? No. I'm indignant. This is no way to transport a true earth pony." Pinky shrugged and went back to concentrating on the tablet. "It's useless now," Coppermane said. Pinky glanced at him and saw that his eyes watered a bit. He looked a little green around the edges as well. "If we are flying, we are far away from the ground. You can't channel here." The words of discouragement threatened to smother the sliver of hope that Pinky had been nurturing. With a defiant shake of her head, she concentrated even harder. She was starting to get what Coppermane was talking about. It was like moving a limb she never knew existed, like a fifth leg or an extra head. She was getting somewhere, and she didn't want Coppermane's pessimism to ruin things. Then, as if answering her stubborn optimism, the entire hold began to glow softly. Faint rainbow colors, just like the ones she saw back inside Clover the Clever's refuge, lingered around the wooden walls of the airship's hold. Unlike the previous time she saw them, the colors didn't flow like water and seemed barely there.
"I did it,"
she whispered. She looked at Coppermane, unable to keep her face straight as excitement flooded her.
"I did it!"
The gems on her tablet shone brightly. Coppermane stared at her with his mouth hanging open. "That's impossible," he said. "Miles from the Earth, what could you possibly be channeling?" He dragged himself forward and looked down when his forelegs struck the wooden floor. "Of course," he said. "Ley energy flows into trees and small quantities are retained in the wood." He looked around. "Probably in the metal, too. I've never heard of being able to channel with such minute quantities." He looked at Pinky, his eyes narrowing. "Try to do something with the ley energy."
"Do something?"
Pinky asked. She was put at a loss so suddenly that the gems on her tablet began to wane. With a gasp, she concentrated for an entire minute before daring to say anything else.
"What am I supposed to do?"
"Look down," Coppermane said. Pinky did as she was asked. The wooden floor swirled with faint colors as if she was standing on a very shallow pool. Suddenly, the colors directly below her face rippled, gently at first and then more violently as it went on. Her tail began to twitch. On impulse, she moved her head slightly to the side before staring at it. It seemed that some of the ripples somehow climbed up her leg and was flowing through her tail. Coppermane's drinking glass struck the floor where the rippling was and shattered. Pinky's eyes widened.
"What was that for?"
she asked. "Well, you can now replicate what you did before," Coppermane said.
"I can do that without the fancy swirling colors."
"You've barely scratched the surface of what you can do." Pinkie Pie grabbed Coppermane's head with both hoofs again.
"Then help me scratch the surface."
"No shaking," Coppermane said. He put his forelegs up before she could even begin. "I'll help you. It's my responsibility to make sure that a channeler with so much potential grows in the true earth pony way."
"Wait,"
Pinkie said with a tilt of her head.
"Does it mean we're friends now?"
Coppermane looked at her suspiciously, his lips seemingly halfway to yes when he stopped himself to think. "You are friends with creatures that I do not wish to be friends with, Pinkie Pie," he said. "But I think I can be your friend." Pinkie Pie answered with a smile.
"Well, it's a start,"
she said. The cheer quickly melted away.
"Oh no, that means Sablesteel will try to kill you now as well."
Coppermane stared at her in alarm. Before either pony could say anything, however, they heard a pony call out from above decks.
"Canterlot in sight!"
Pinky dashed towards a nearby porthole and poked her head out. the white spires of Canterlot were indeed by the horizon. She let the breeze blow her mane about, reveling in the wave of coolness that blew away the stagnant heat of the hold. Okay, everypony, what do you think? I mean, Night Canter really is a little rough with Pinky here, but, well, she is known to have a short temper. We know that already when we first saw that, even we saw that in her first introduction, actually, because when she and Vanguard were interrogating, what was his name? Stoneshot. She was the one banging Stoneshot's head several times into the table because, well, he didn't give the answers she wanted. She has a short temper, we know that, but I still think she is being a little rough with Pinky. But she does give her a heads up on reality. I mean, she tells her straight out that she is uprooting ponies with, well, trying to keep them safe. And that she has no means to stop Sablesteel even if she gets there in time. Then I think we have Coppermane here, and I can't help but think that Coppermane was only implemented into the story as a plot device. Because he is, well, a stereotyped True Earth pony who doesn't like Pegasi or unicorns, and yeah. He's only willing to teach Pinkie Pie because he sees her potential. As he says, it's his duty or responsibility to make sure that a channeler with this much potential grows in the True Earth Pony way. I, however, don't think that Pinkie will ever be true to the teachings of the True Earth Ponies, which would mean that she would start to dislike her friends like Rainbow Dash, Fluttershy, Rarity, and Twilight. Everyone except Applejack, who's an Earth Pony too. Yeah, I don't think she would ever do that. She will most likely only learn a few things from Coppermane, and then Coppermane will never appear again. At least that's what I think. I don't remember now if he actually does appear again, but I don't think so. Yeah. He is just a convenient plot device here, I think. I mean, he is brave when... he's stupid attacking Night Canter like that. How can he be so stupid? There are several Legionnaires and he attacks them. He basically attacks them by breaking Night Canter's telekinesis. How stupid can one be? I mean, of course, he sees that as oppression. But as Night Canter said, these True Earth ponies are so touchy that they would scream oppression if some pony reached out to hug them. So, what's your opinion on that? Sincerely yours, Visual Pony.